In the past few days, Sinaroji has been speaking about how Kayanupassana occurs.
There are four large fields of observation: kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, the physical feelings, consciousness, and general objects. And of these four, the physical phenomena, or kaya, is the most obvious, and therefore we choose this to begin our practice. And when we observe this, Seiroji described how kaya nupassana occurs. He described how when one applies ardent effort to observe the arising kaya, sati becomes firmly established on the object, and the mind becomes collected. Knowledge then occurs, and this is the essence of anupassana. To know the physical objects that arise repeatedly, one must apply ardent effort every time a physical action occurs. And if one does this, if one makes the effort if one makes this applied effort every time, then sati will arise. And when the mind becomes collected, sampajanya will develop. One will know, first of all, one will see clearly mental and physical phenomena, how they are two separate things. And one will see how they are related by cause and effect. And one will come to see, too, how these mental and physical phenomena that arise due to causes, and which are related as cause and effect, how they arise and then pass away, how they are unsatisfactory because of this, and how they are uncontrollable, they have no inherent self. One comes to know these things for oneself. And Seiroji has talked quite a bit about this, so he thinks the yogis probably understand this by now. When one's observation, contains virya, sati, samadhi, and knowing, occurs on the arising physical phenomena or kaya, this is kaya nupassana. When one's knowing occurs on feeling, good or bad, vedana, then this is vedana nupassana. When this knowing of anupassana occurs on consciousness, on the mind, then this is citta nupassana, observing, thinking, planning, and so on. And when anupassana occurs on the other various objects, general phenomena such as seeing, hearing, and so on, this is dhamma nupassana. If anupassana is occurring, then knowledge is occurring. And this knowledge starts, first of all, with knowing the distinction between nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena, and then how they are related as cause and effect. When knowledge arises, ignorance is dispelled, just the way when light arises, darkness is dispelled. Today, Seiroji would like to speak about what the immediate benefit is of gaining this knowledge. So knowledge, or knowing. In the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the Buddha used the word sampajano. That means one who knows. Sampajanya means knowing. And Seiroji analyzed the meaning of this word the other day. If we just take the parts sam and jana, that means knowing correctly. One knows what is really there as it is, as it really is. One knows the true nature of physicality. one knows how it arises and passes away, that it is unsatisfactory or dukkha. It has no inherent self, and it's not good or beautiful. The Buddha used the word asubha for this. So these words, anicca, meaning impermanent, dukkha, unsatisfactory, anatta, without an inherent self, and asubha, not beautiful. These are four names that true nature has. So when one sees that phenomena is anicca or impermanent, this dispels one's view of permanence. When one sees that the object is unsatisfactory, this dispels the view that it is pleasant. When one sees that the object being observed is just phenomena, just empty process, just Dhamma, lacking an inherent self, and one sees that it is not beautiful. When we consider something to be good-looking, then tanha, craving, can arise. When we see it as not being beautiful, then tanha is dispelled. So these are anicca, dukkha, anatta, and asubha. So first of all, knowing rupa kaya, knowing the physical phenomena. So first of all, we come to see this true nature. And when we continue to practice, we see that there's physical events are related by cause and effect. The rising and the falling are phenomena that come about due to causes. Because of breathing in, the rising occurs. If there's no in-breath, there won't be any rising of the abdomen. Because of the out-breath, falling occurs. If there's no breathing out, then there won't be any falling of the abdomen. One sees that without a cause, there will be no effect. When the rising arises and we observe it, the knowing mind arises because there is an object to observe, the rising. When the rising doesn't occur, then the knowing mind does not arise either. So the object being observed and the mind which observes it, these are connected as cause and effect. The object is called Aramana in Pali. The knowing mind which takes it as the object is Aramanika. So one comes to know about cause and effect in stages. And this is called Sanjanya, knowing correctly. And Sanjanya also means one knows completely. That is, one doesn't know just part of the object. One knows it completely. And one knows for oneself, not by another person telling us, not by another person looking and telling us what it looks like. We look, and therefore we see. That means we come to know. And we come to see that the mind which observes and the object are separate. And so, too, the rising is one thing, the falling is another. Further, one comes to see that the rising is not just a single rising. It's actually a series of individual risings. As when we see a line of ants from a distance, it seems like just a line or a stick. But when we come close to it, very close, we can see individual ants moving one after another. And this is how we come to see the rising and the falling as a series of individual risings. So we come to see clearly and distinctly. And this is also included in the word, in the meaning of sampajanya. So this knowledge also is one's own knowledge, and it is special. So there are six meanings of the word sampajanya. One knows correctly, distinctly. One knows completely and distinctly. And one knows distinctly and for oneself. Or we can also say it means one knows correctly in a special way. One knows completely in a special way. And one knows in a special way for oneself. In this place, the Buddha could have used ordinary words like jnana or panya, but he didn't. He chose to use the word sampajanya. One who knows like this is called sampajano. One who knows in these ways. And knowing in this way, when we know a physical object, an object that is physical is called kaya, then this is kaya nupassana. One who knows in this way is anupassi, or kaya nupassi. This sampajanya, knowing true nature, knowing doesn't occur by itself. It has companions which help it. In order to see the rising and the falling one after another with knowledge, the nearest cause for this knowledge to arise is samadhi, collectedness of mind. With samadhi, kama vitaka, or wanting, thinking about sense desires, is eliminated. And this momentary concentration, kanika samadhi, occurs because one can observe the rising and the falling with steadfast sati, without gaps. This is because sati prevents kilesas from entering the mind. The quality of hiri and otapa, shame regarding the possibility of kilesas entering the mind and disgust by them, is also part of, is also present, is also a quality that makes one apply effort to note every object. And when one applies effort to note every rising, every falling, and other objects, then laziness and other kilesas, or akusalas, have no chance to arise. Our effort to observe the object, virya, clears the path for wholesome mind states, starting with sati. These can arise because of effort. So the quality, in any wholesome mind state, the quality of the shame, moral shame and moral fear is present and is very important. When knowledge arises, ignorance is dispelled, just as when light arises, darkness is dispelled. So initially, when one is practicing, one has these qualities of hiriyotapa, and these are very good. One understands that if one lets one's mind be scattered, kilesas will arise. So because of having this shame and disgust for kilesas, entering the mind, one controls the mind, tries to hold it steady and keep it from scattering. And because of one's mental control, the samadhi, knowledge arises. When knowledge arises, it occurs together with samadhi and with hiri and otapa. And hiri and otapa, moral shame and moral dread, are very important. When our sati is absent because effort to observe the arising object is weak, one is disgusted that kilesas can enter the mind. So this hiri and otapa acts to repel kilesas from the mind. It keeps us from letting our energy get weak. And because they hiri and otapa repel the heat of kilesas, they're called sokat dhamma. And this means white, clean white dhammas. When we're in the hot sun, if we wear something white, the heat is repelled. So having hiri otapa in our mind is like wearing white clothing in the sun. The hiri and the otapa repel the heat of the kilesas. Those who have hiri and otapa, moral shame and moral dread, protect their own little world from greed, hatred, and delusion, loba, dosa, and moha. And therefore, hiri and otapa are also called lokapala dhamma. And this is very important. When one is not ashamed of doing or saying or thinking unwholesome, base, unwholesome things, when one has no disgust for base behavior, one will perform base, low, degrading acts. But when one has the disgust for unwholesomeness, that is hiri and otapa, one will protect oneself and one will seek out a method for keeping these dhammas, keeping unwholesome qualities from coming into one's mind. Hiri and otapa also make the world bright, because through our hiri and otapa, our mind, we work to gradually clean the mind. It becomes clean and one gains dignity. And when one has, through one's effort in the practice, when one develops strong virya, effort, sati, mindfulness, and samadhi, then one's status becomes uplifted. One becomes high level. And because these dhammas of hiri and otapa make the world bright and they make us high level, they're called deva dhammas also. Those who practice, if one is disgusted by the thought of kilesas entering the mind, when we practice, we'll be meticulous and continuous, taking meticulous care to observe the object. And because of meticulous care in the practice, knowledge will arise very quickly. Those without any shame or fear regarding kilesas won't take meticulous care. And therefore, when they change their posture, going from sitting to standing or standing to walking, and so on, they'll just do it quickly. Or when one sees something, when something catches one's eyes, one will stare at it. Then, hearing something, one will turn one's head to look. So if one wants to catch every arising object with one's mindfulness, then one has to move about slowly and control one's faculties. And for this, Hiri and Otapa is very important. And we can, we should understand that Hiri and Otapa is what is fundamental in helping bring about a meticulous practice. When Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Samadhi occur, on whatever physical object arises, starting with the rising and the falling, and knowledge occurs, following the Virya, Sati, and Samadhi, every object known is known clearly. And because knowledge is present, there is no greed, no lobha can arise in the mind, no wanting. And just as there is no lobha, greed, there's also no dissatisfaction regarding the object. There's no dosa arising. Where is it that this, from where has this, the lobha and dosa, been eliminated? It's been eliminated from the rising and the falling and all other objects that one observes. It's eliminated from the physical and mental objects, and that is, we could say, it is eliminated from the world, or loka, our own world. Lobha and dosa have no chance to arise. Why this is because virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, effort, sati, concentration, and knowledge, have taken the place of lobha and dosa. There's no place for lobha, greed, or dosa to arise. So we have freedom from these qualities, and in one moment of knowing, that's one moment of having eliminated greed and hatred. In 1 minute, there's 60 moments of having eliminated greed and anger. And because we are knowing clearly, there's no delusion, no moha either. So in this moment of knowing, we're free of lobha, dosa, and moha. And this is called the vipassana mind, when knowledge occurs. When the momentum, when this vipassana mind has momentum, it occurs one after another and develops momentum, then kilesas become far from one's mind. Kilesas are distanced because of our the momentum of the vipassana mind. So there is no kilesa that can arise on the object that is being observed when knowledge arises. And this is called tadanga pahana. This is eliminating the kilesas at the moment the vipassana mind arises. And further, when we have momentum in noting, then kilesas don't occur on objects that we miss, too, on objects that we don't note, because the kilesas are distanced from the mind. And this is called vikambana pahana, dispelling them, dispelling the kilesas by distancing them. So these are the benefits that we gain from special dhamma. When one doesn't know the special qualities of satipatthana practice, or knowing about them but not having faith but no desire to practice, or practicing but without strong desire, then virya, sati, samadhi, and panya will not arise. Only when one has strong desire to gain the benefits that satipatthana has will one work to develop virya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Only then will knowledge arise. What one comes to know through the practice, one knows how nama and rupa are two different things. one knows their nature. One knows how they are related as cause and effect. And one knows how whatever one observes arises and then passes away. Because of this, it's unsatisfactory and it lacks an inherent self. These are the things that one can know through the practice. One should know the benefits that Satipatthana practice brings. The fundamental benefit that we gain through the practice is purity of mind. And this is no small benefit. This is very important. Purity of mind means we gain mastery over ourselves. We conquer ourselves. And when we do this, we won't commit any aggressive acts towards anyone. When we have a strong desire to gain purity of mind and the other benefits, then we'll make effort in the practice. Sati will arise, bringing with it samadhi and knowledge. And one will gain the knowledge that is brought through the practice, and one's life will become high level. If one uses one's life beneficially, it's like using one's own plot of land. So if we have a plot of land, according to the seasons, we can plant useful plants, and we eliminate the weeds. And these plants bring things that we can use. If we use our life to cultivate Satipatthana practice, then one can gain knowledge, including knowledge of the Noble Path and fruition and Nibbana. If we don't develop knowledge, if we don't use the practice to develop knowledge, then it won't arise. And when knowledge does not arise, then lobha, dosa, and moha, like weeds, will sprout in our mind, and our life will become the ground for kilesas, kilesa bhumi. Just like an uncultivated plot of land will become a tangle of weeds. So instead of this, if we use the Satipatthana practice, we can clear the weeds of kilesas from our individual plot of land, and we can make our life the ground for vipassana to arise, vipassana bhumi. And then one's life will become very valuable. So Seyaroji wants the yogis to understand this. And tomorrow, Seyaroji will talk about how the field of kilesas occurs without the knowledge developed through Satipatthana, and how the field of vipassana occurs. Also, why does kilesa bhumi, the field of kilesas, arise? Why does vipassana bhumi, the field of vipassana, arise? Seyaroji will explain this all tomorrow clearly. That's all for today.